All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Bluffton Community. I said that earlier. I'm going to say it again. I'll probably say it later on when I'm back up here. But so good to see you guys. So good to see everybody on a Sunday morning. There's so many things you could be doing right now, and for you to take time out of your morning to spend it with us is something that we very much appreciate. And we don't take for granted. So, Kelly, thank you for sharing your stories with us, and I look forward to hearing even more from what you are doing and what God is doing overseas through your ministry. Wanted to also just say welcome to everybody watching online. I think Kyle and Marty are watching from Florida, and we're like kind of live, but not really live. They're just checking us out. But in the next couple weeks, we'll be going live online, and the Mother's Room is working. This morning, we've got it on the right output, and we should be able to watch from our mother's room. So if anybody's got little babies or things like that, you guys can watch along with the service. If you're ever watching online, when we go live, we're only doing the teaching. So it's going to start probably about half an hour after a typical service would start. Worship is just, it's tough to kind of mix all of that, and our worship leaders are amazing. Their singing is great. Yeah, we can clap for them. Their singing is great. The instruments are great. But when you put it through online, it just kind of messes it all up. And so we're just going to avoid putting them in a position to feel uncomfortable being online. And we're just going to do the teaching. We've also kind of found out that that's what most people are tuning in for, is just for the 35 minutes of teaching. So if you ever get on there, and it's just a Bluffton Community logo, that's normal. It will turn into the teaching once the bumper starts. But we're in week two of our series, In Christ, which we're looking at John 15, verses 1 to 17. So if you want to go ahead and turn there or click over there in your phones, feel free to do that. Last week, we talked all about how to remain in Christ. This week, we're talking about one of the things that happens when you do that. So the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at the same passage, and we're looking at results of remaining in Christ. So this week, we're looking at how to bear fruit. And quite honestly, it's a little intimidating to talk about how to bear fruit, because hopefully what you come out of today with is that we can't. We ourselves cannot bear fruit on our own. What we do on our own is something completely different. And if we are trying to bear fruit in our own power, our own action, our own behaviors, it's not fruit at all, okay? Fruit comes through the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And so that's going to be hopefully very clear through the passage that we're about to read. And it's hopefully going to be something that is clear through the teaching that God has put on my heart for this week to share with you guys. But before we get into the passage and get into the sermon, let's address the elephant in the room. When we're talking about fruit and we're talking about what is fruit, those types of things, we've got to start here. Tomatoes. What the heck, right? Fruit, vegetable, whatever. I'm just going to go ahead. Everybody's got their own opinions. Everybody's got their own thoughts. But if we are true Christians, we would know VeggieTales taught us that tomatoes are a vegetable, right? It's not called Fruity Tales. It's called VeggieTales. And Bob, the main character, is a tomato. And so therefore, we can go ahead and put that behind us, and we can focus for the rest of the morning knowing that we have solved the debate. Tomatoes are vegetables. Fruits are delicious, vegetables are not, and tomatoes are not delicious. So, but hey, for real, we're not talking about that kind of fruit this morning. The type of fruit that we're talking about this morning is much different. And so when we read through John 15, what we're going to hear is a reference to fruit or bearing fruit or the production of fruit 9 times. And so obviously this was a point of emphasis for Jesus that he wanted his disciples to focus on. And like I said, last week we talked about how to remain in Christ and what that looks like. And this week we are talking about what it means and how we bear fruit in our lives and see that. So before we get into that, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the opportunity to read your word and to hear your voice clearly through it. Lord, as I said earlier, this is an intimidating passage because if we are truly listening, what we're going to see and what we're going to hear is that we can't do this alone. We cannot do this in our own power. When we try to do fruit bearing or the production of good things, something else happens, and it's awful. Bearing fruit only comes through submitting to you, saying yes to you as the leader of our lives, saying yes to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as our Savior and our leader. So I pray that this morning, that is the message that we hear. I pray that we neglect anything that says we can do this in our own power. We just got to work hard. We got to put our nose to the grindstone, and we got to go deeper in our own strength. And I pray that what is clearly communicated is that we've got to get on our knees and submit to you, the one who gives good gifts, the one who bears fruit in us, the true vine that we heard about last week. But I also pray that you do for each one of us what you did for me this week, which is just a deep reflection on the fruit that is being produced in my own life. Lord, that's hard, but I think it's necessary. And that in and of itself is going to help this bearing of fruit. When we truly think about how does my life reflect my Savior, my Forgiver, my Leader, my King. Lord, I pray that you help us to just hear your word clearly and thoughtfully and truly. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So John 15, verses 1 through 17. Like I said last week, this is going to be our main passage for the next this week and the next 2 weeks after that. And we're just kind of picking out different topics as we go through. So there's going to be a lot of repetition, and sometimes that's good. If you're like me, you need to hear something multiple times before it sinks in. So verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. So I believe that there are some clear truths here. Last week, we talked a little bit about fruit bearing, and we talked about how if there is no fruit, those branches will be cut off. There's no need and no room for useless branches. If there's some fruit, the gardener will prune us, and the point of that pruning is to produce even more fruit, to strengthen those branches and allow more fruit to grow. And then lastly, our fruit brings glory to the Father. He's the gardener. He takes pride in the production of fruit, and he wants it to happen. That brings great joy to my life, knowing that that is something that he wants for us. He takes great pride in our fruit production, and he will do whatever it takes to increase that fruit in our lives. This week, like I said, we're going to go a little bit deeper into this idea of fruit and bearing fruit and what that looks like and how that happens. So as we look into it, the word bear comes into mind, okay? So it talks about bearing fruit. Like I said earlier, that happens over and over and over again through this passage. And the word bear, I had to look it up because, you know, it's one of those things, sometimes it's translated this way and it means something else. And it talked about how that word means to carry, okay? To carry something. So like thinking about like bearing weight, something that's carrying weight and that sort of thing. And as I was looking into that, it just brought this picture into mind that it's something that we are handed. It's something that we take onto our, it's something from outside that we are picking up or something like that. It's not something that we just naturally have on our own. And as we think about the fruit that Jesus is talking about here with his disciples, that seemed to track for me. You know, we're going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit and the things like that from Galatians in a little bit. But as I reflect on those types of lists and the types of fruit that Jesus is talking about here, I don't necessarily feel like those are just naturally outflowing from my life. And so, like I said, it kind of tends me to like, I've got to work harder. I've got to focus more. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do this. And what was clear from last week is that's not how this happens. The tree doesn't garden and prune itself. The tree trusts the gardener to prune it and to strengthen it and to bring more out of it, okay? And so, as I was thinking about this idea of picking things up and carrying things, I was thinking about, like, what are the things that are influencing me? What are the things that I'm picking up from the things that are around me? What am I putting into my head or into my heart, and how does that affect the things that are coming out of me? When I was thinking about that and thinking about the type of fruit that Jesus is referring to here, it led me to understand that, like, hey, the fruit is the stuff that we do. The fruit is outward sign of inward health. It's our behaviors, it's our actions, it's our choices, our decisions. And so every single one of us, when we think about it that way, we are all bearing some sort of fruit. Every single one of us has behaviors or choices that kind of define or show other people who we are and what we value. Matthew 7, 16 through 20 talks about this, and this is, talking about false teachers, okay? So as Jesus is warning his disciples of these false teachers, he tells them that by their fruit you will recognize them, okay? Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. John 13:35, I don't have a slide for that, but it says very similar things. And this is part of the passage that kind of rolls into what we're talking about. And it says, by this, all people will know that you're my disciples, Jesus goes on to say, it's how you love one another. That's how people will know. It's the fruit that our lives are producing that will help people know I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ or I'm a disciple of the world. And so, you know, it got me thinking, I cannot walk through a woods and identify trees. If you've ever been on the Souter, hayride, that's the word I'm looking for. They've got all the trees labeled. Super helpful, because it's like I'm going through there and I'm like, oh, it's a tree. Oh, it's a tree. And it's like they've got them labeled, and it's this is a buckeye, this is a this, this is a that. And yet, if I see an orange tree, I know it's an orange tree. If I see an apple tree, I know exactly what it is because it's got fruit that's hanging off of it that helps me identify it. And just like trees or vines, we're all carrying fruit of some sort around to which people are using to identify us. Scriptures refer to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And right before he talks about the fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, Paul talks about the acts of the flesh. Okay, and this is where I was getting the definition of fruit being our behaviors, our actions, our decisions, because we are either producing fruits that are the acts of the flesh, or we're producing fruit through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. And so Galatians 5, 19 through 21 talks about sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And then Paul goes on to finish it with this. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Very, very clear language. What's not so clear, but I hope becomes clear today, is that on our own, this is what we are capable of producing. Okay? I went through and I bolded out the words idolatry and selfish ambition, because a lot of that list we can go with like, nah, don't do that. Nah, don't do that. I'm doing okay. But when reality strikes, it's the work on our own behalf that is the idolatry he's talking about here. When we are relying on our goodness, when we are relying on the things that we do, when we are relying on our own strength, we're actually making idols of ourselves. I'm good enough to get to salvation on my own. I'm good enough to jump through the hoops. I can do all of the religious things. When in reality, the fruit that we're producing is rotten, decaying, in dead fruit that's no good for anything and has to be cut off in order to protect the rest of the fruit, okay? There's the old saying, one bad apple spoils the bunch or whatever, however that goes. And it got me thinking, like, is that true? Is that something that actually happens? If there's a rotting fruit, do I have to get that out of the bag or off of the bunch or off of the tree? Will it actually create more rotting around it? And it can. Rotting fruit produces gases that then affect the rest of the fruits and cause accelerated ripening, accelerated spoilage of the fruits nearby. And so that's what farmers do. That's what, you know, people who are tending groves of trees do. They go around and they prune that kind of stuff away, because if they leave it, there's a chance that the rest of it will be affected. And I was thinking about that all week this week, about how my type of behavior in me has an effect on those around me, okay? And quite honestly, God had the mirror on me this week, and it was not comfortable. I was not happy with him, but it was needed, because all week this week, I could sense that in my kids. I could sense that in the people around me. All of the bad habits I feel like of the people around me are because of me. And that's probably like self that's like overdoing it and you know, a little bit too much negativity on myself. But you know, my kids were like arguing with each other. And I know they seem sweet here, but they can get after each other when they're at home. It happens. It's natural. The parents in the room are probably laughing and thinking, yeah, mine too. But like as they are being unkind to each other, as they're sarcastically responding to one another, especially that one, and as they're being impatient with one another, I can hear myself. And this week especially, it was like, oh, that was me coming out of their mouth. That was my words that they heard me say. That was my type of response that they heard me respond with. And they're picking that up and they're allowing my rottenness to affect them. You know, I think about like kids, and I think about like the when they're born, man, the giggle of a child, right? Can just fill a room. And the joy that comes out of that just makes everybody else smile, makes everybody go, oh, okay. And as we get older, man, something happens. And that kind of goes away. I think of myself, like, I'm not, like, I've got like angry eyebrows. Like, it's just, you know, I don't know what happened, but like as a kid, I was just like this, you know, chubby little thing that laughed and had a good time. And over time, like, I don't know, I guess I trained myself out of it. And now it's like I walk around and I look like an angry, like, caveman all the time. And that's not who God created me to be. It's not necessarily who I want to be. And so as these types of things are happening in my life, it makes me think of the warning that John the Baptist gave to the Pharisees. In Matthew 3:8, he says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And as my kids are, you know, being sarcastic with one another or being unkind or short and impatient, it was driving me to repent this week. Because I know they didn't get it from their mom. They got it from me. And the things that they're doing to each other, the way that they're interacting with each other, they have learned from the ones around them. And so it's very clear, and it was very clear to me all week this week, that I can't do this on my own. We cannot bear good fruit. We can bear rotten fruit. We can do that. We can do that really well and really easily. But in order to bear good fruit, we must repent and trust the Holy Spirit's work in us to produce the fruit we're unable to on our own. And when we do this, the Spirit begins to cultivate fruit in our lives that's supernatural. This type of fruit is described in the verses later in Galatians 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is this, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I had to go look up forbearance. That's not a word that I use all the time. It's patience. Okay? When we're forbearing, we're patient with one another. Those who belong to Christ, those who remain, have crucified the flesh. Everything that we mentioned earlier, all of those selfish, ambitious acts, the rotten fruit, are crucified when we say yes to Jesus. Along with the passions, the desires, the things that make us want to do those things, the Spirit can get rid of all of that. And it helps us to keep in step with the Spirit. And so again, what is fruit? It is the outward sign of inward health. And so you may be thinking, what if I don't see this in my life? What if I've never noticed that there is fruit being produced from me? Okay? Well, there's two things I'd like to say about that. Number one, if you have said yes to Jesus and you are saying yes to his leadership in your life, you're saying yes to him as forgiver and leader, king over your decisions, you may just need to be patient, okay? Fruit takes time, all right? Going to like the agricultural analogy, That doesn't happen the minute that it's planted. Okay? Most trees take 2 to 3, sometimes up to 5 years to produce fruit. And usually the first crop of fruit is like sour or immature. It just doesn't taste quite right. And over time, that fruit begins to be good. And that's exactly what happens in our lives. It doesn't happen immediately. It doesn't happen overnight. There will be growth. I think of me when I was 16, saying yes to Jesus for the first time in my life. Man, I was like doing Bible studies with my buddies. I was leading Bible studies, you know, for kids who were younger than me at high school. We had a room that we would go to after school. And we were excited. We were full of joy. You know, it's kind of like going to like youth camp, you know, and you come back and you're just on fire. You go on a mission trip. You come back, you're on fire. There's growth in your life. Okay? But actual fruit production takes a minute. Okay? I'm 38 years old. I just figured out what I wanted to do with my life about 6 months ago. And quite honestly, Sarah and I were looking back at journals, and I think I maybe mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but like she found some. She's like, I didn't remember this. I was thinking about seminary and college. And I think about how awful that would have gone had I done that then. Because my roots were not deep. My roots were not ready to lead a church or to be a part of a ministry and that sort of a thing. I was trying. I was trying to do all the right things, but I had no idea where actual fruit came from. Okay? And that took me 20 years to figure out. 22 years if you go from the moment that I said yes to Jesus. I would not have been ready, and everything would have been sour, and things would have been like, you know, just, it wouldn't have been good. And it got me thinking about like the one example I read in a book a couple years ago, bamboo trees. If you've ever studied that, there's a lot of like growth and leadership principles in bamboo trees. You plant a bamboo tree and it looks like nothing is happening for 5 years. Nothing comes out of the dirt for 5 years after you plant the bamboo tree. What's happening is all under the surface. Those roots are just going down, down, down into the dirt, because the year that it starts to grow, bamboo trees can grow up to 100 feet in 1 year. And so if there's no fruit in your life that you can see, trust. Maybe God's building those roots in your life and you're about to explode. And he's going to use you to do things that you would have never dreamed of before, because he has built the root foundation in your life. Now, on the other hand, if there's no fruit in your life, you gotta ask yourself, have I said yes to Jesus? Because if there is no spirit in you, there will be no good fruit. Jesus is clear about that. You can do nothing on your own. You have to rely on the work of the Spirit in you to produce fruit. And so if there is no Spirit, there is no fruit. And so I just think that there's a lot of people, especially in our area, that like church is what we did. I go to church every single Sunday morning. My parents are Christians, this, that, and the other. And I'm relying on things that aren't actually the work of the Spirit in my life. And so I just encourage every single person to just think about that and go, am I relying on the religious acts that I think will save me? Or am I relying on the act of the one who actually has provided salvation in my life? Because that's where fruit comes from. So how do we do this? We start by saying yes. We say yes to Jesus for the first time as forgiver and leader. We say yes to Jesus as the 100th time as forgiver and leader. We say yes to Jesus every single day. I remember Kelly said this a couple years ago. Every morning, I re-say the gospel to myself and remind myself what Jesus Christ has done for my life. Man, what a good thing to do. We talked a couple weeks ago about the Shema, where the Jews would wake up every single morning and they would remind themselves that there is no God but God. He is the one and only, and I'm going to worship him and love him with all my heart, soul, and strength. That's where this comes from. And once we've said yes to Jesus, we remain. We stay connected. In order to bear fruit, we must remain in Christ. And to remain in Christ means that you're already in him. You can't stay connected to something you've never been connected to in your life. That's where saying yes to Jesus and his leadership of our lives comes in. Once we've done that, we remain connected. And just like my kids are connected to me and they're picking up good things and bad things, it's not all bad things, I hope, we become more and more like Christ every single day as we allow the work of the Holy Spirit to just transform our lives. And so disconnected from Christ, every behavior, every decision, every action is a transaction designed to get something. This is how the world works. I do this, you do that. I give you this, you give me that. Okay? And that's the exact same thing with our behaviors. When we're doing this, we're living in opposition to God. We're living in opposition to his glory. And we spend our lives doing good things in our own power to earn God's love and bring glory on ourselves. Whether or not we're living in opposition or whether or not we're living a transactional lifestyle with God where we do this and we expect him to give us something in return, they both lead to destruction. They're both dead ends. But then as I thought about this, in Christ and through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we talked about in Galatians, those things are all outflows of things that Christ has already done. We're not doing these things so that we can earn it in return. We're doing those things because we've already received them. Think about this. We love because he first loved us. That's 1 John 4:19. We have joy because we know that he endured the cross for the joy set before him. That's Hebrews 12:2. We experience peace because he keeps in peace those who trust in him. Isaiah 26:3. We are patient because he is patient with us, not wanting any to perish. 2 Peter 3:9. We are kind because his kindness led us to repentance. Romans 2:4. We are good because he is good, and his steadfast love remains forever. Psalm 106. We are faithful because he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. 1 John 1:9. We are gentle because he is gentle and humble at heart. Matthew 11:29. And we are able to show self-control because he didn't open his mouth, but like a lamb was led to the slaughter. Isaiah 53:7. We can trust God to do the transformative work in each one of us because he's already done it. And for many of us, he's doing it right now. I'd like to close with a quote from Richard Foster's Spiritual Disciplines. As I was thinking about this week, this book kind of came into my mind. I started reading it a little bit ago, kind of put it down, picking it back up again. But he talked about just the idea of spiritual disciplines. And the book talks about inward disciplines and things that we kind of focus on. And the whole point is that as God is providing growth, it's our job to think about the things that help create a good atmosphere for it. And again, these are all things that he's provided us. We're not coming up with these things on our own. It's things like reading his word, praying and meditating on it, spending time listening to his voice. And he said this, he used the analogy of a farmer. It said, a farmer is helpless to grow grain. All he can do is provide the right conditions for the growing. And it made me think, like, of all weeks, I got the privilege of sitting down with a gentleman this week, and I'd never met him before, and I'm not like a super big talker. I mean, we talked for an hour and a half. We went to the coffee shop. We just sat down and enjoyed each other's presence for an hour and a half, and the only connection we had was I'm a believer and he's a believer, and I just love that. I think I've told you guys about my best friend from Houston. Wouldn't have thought at all that I would connect with that guy, but he loved Jesus, and that provided a connection. This man was no different. And as we were sitting there, he said almost the same things that I had read in that book. He's talking about how he was a farmer and how there's no profession that he can think of, and he said maybe ministry, that you are more reliant on God. He's like, I could put things in the ground, I could prepare the soil, I could do all the things I needed to do, and unless God provides the sunlight, unless God provides the rain, nothing will happen, and that fruit will not be produced. And it took me to thinking of 1 Corinthians 3:6, where Paul is talking to people who are arguing about who discipled them. And he reminds them, he's like, you don't follow me, you don't follow Apollos, you don't follow Peter, you follow Christ. And he says this, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Galatians 6:8 reminds us, he who sows in his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's the fruit that will last that Jesus is talking about in John 15. The fruit of the Spirit will never go away because it's got nothing to do with us and everything to do with the work he's already done. Jesus reminds us this in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. We will pick it up from him. We will be influenced by him. And if we are apart from him, we can do none of it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'd like you to ask the question that we ask every single week. Lord, what are you teaching me through your word today? Take a moment to meditate on that. God, I thank you for the clarity of your word and how obvious it can be sometimes. And usually the more obvious it is, the more I want to like argue. The more I want to go like, oh, what does that really mean? It means what it means. When we say yes to you, you will bear good fruit through us. That brings you glory. It brings you honor. And Lord, I pray that when fruit is produced in our life, that we give you the glory and the honor and the credit. Lord, there's probably been, not probably, definitely been times in my life where I've looked at things and gone, man, look at what I did. Look at what I achieved. And God, it's kind of like a couple weeks ago when we talked about generosity. I'm not generous with the things that I've earned. I'm generous with the things that you've given me. Anything that's good from us has come from you. And if it hasn't come from you, it is unlasting, rotten, fleeting. So I pray that you continue to prune us. I pray that you continue to separate us from the things that are slowly causing death and decay in our lives. And I pray that you attach us to the vine. Lord, the end of this passage in John 15 reminds us we didn't choose you. You chose us. And you chose us so that we would bear fruit and fruit that will last. fruit that you would provide, you would grow through us. So I pray this morning that if there's anyone here who has not said yes to the fruit-bearing goodness and power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that this morning we would do that. I pray that you would put us in a position of submission and that we would say yes to your leadership in our lives and that you would put us on a path of saying yes to you for the remainder of our lives every single day, steadfast, chasing after you, not the things that this world would try to tempt us with. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the way that it challenges our hearts and reorients our focus to trust in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.